Matthew 10, 26, 31. Just want to talk about fear is a liar. We're going to use this passage, Matthew 10, 26, 31. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad, and when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetop for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Father God, I just pray that, Lord, as you direct me to this passage and, Lord, into this topic of fear, that fear is a lie. I just pray that, Lord God, today would be a day that fear gets broken off in this place. And that lies that we are believing, God, that you're going to reveal to us lies that we've been believing that have been harassing us, holding us back, or hindering us. And we just ask that, Father, today as we go through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I always pray every week, God, guide me, direct me into the message that you would have me to share with your people. And I think it was Wednesday night, and I really didn't have any message to be attacking for the next day. I usually like to do that on Thursdays. And so as I was sleeping, kind of in the middle of the night, I'm waking up and keep hearing that fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Just like, okay, like this is getting ridiculous. I can't sleep here because I keep hearing that. And I don't think I got any fear, but this is really crazy. And then finally I clued in. It took me a little while to clue in that, well, you're praying. You're asking me what your message needs to be. Fear is a liar. Thank you, Lord. And then I was able to go to rest and sleep the rest of the night. So this morning I want to talk to you about fear and expose some of those lies of fear with the truth. Fear can be defined as apprehension, anxiety, fright, panic. It is defined as a distressing emotion aroused by an impending event, an impending threat, danger, evil, pain, whether it is perceived or whether it is imagined. And fear is something that is common to us all. It gets us all at times. And it's a real tool that the enemy of our soul loves to use. The devil will use this fear to cause us to believe in lies instead of truth. Through fear, we start to entertain the devil's thoughts, and bondage and torment begins to settle in as we partner with those lies that the enemy has been speaking over our lives. It's one of the best tools the enemy uses against us. And after all, we need to remember he is the father of lies. So he's going to use lies to deceive us, to hinder us, to distract us, to get us out of our main goals, and just to harass us. John 8:44 says, "For you are children of your father, the devil." This was Jesus speaking to some of the Pharisees. "And you love to do the evil things he does." Speaking of the devil, he says he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. See, the devil does not want you to know the truth. The devil hates the truth. And he's very active in our world, convincing people to believe lies rather than truth. And people tell us today that people would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. And when he lies, it's consistent with his character because he is the father of lies. It's one of the reasons why we see so many people today ignoring common sense and truth. Why are they doing that? Because they are deceived. They're convinced by the enemy of their soul to believe a lie instead of truth. You'll also note that as the enemy gives those lies, it usually partners itself with fear. Fear gives the lie strength and power. And so you'll always see those two come together. And it's, again, it's just for the purpose to raise our anxiety level, to exaggerate our condition, and to torment us or harass us. So don't wonder why the Bible says the devil is the father of lies. It says he's the deceiver. He's a tormentor. So he likes to do those things to us. And he uses his tool of fear to deepen our apprehension and to torment us to believe those lies even more. There's a fairly new song out there. You hear it on The Message by Zach Williams. And it really speaks well to this subject of fear and lies. And it's entitled, the song is actually entitled, Fear is a Liar. And as I said earlier this week, I just couldn't get that out of my head until I finally realized, you know, this is the message you want me to speak. And then I was able to rest. But listen to the verses of this song. It says, when he told you, you are not good enough. When he told you, you are not right. When he told you, you are not strong enough to put up a good fight. When he told you, you are not worthy. When he told you, you are not loved. When he told you, you are not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. The verse 2 goes like this. When he told you, you were troubled, you will forever be alone. When he told you, you should run away, you would never find a home. When he told you, you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you, you could be the one that grace could never change. The chorus goes, fear. He is a liar. He will take your breath. He will stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. So cast your fear on the fire, because fear is a liar. I'm sure that you can identify with many of those words that have been spoken in that song, because you've heard those words as well. The enemy has used those words against you as well. And maybe you have come to a truth realization that you've been believing just some of those lies that have just been spoken. It's rather interesting that in counseling and even in the sozo ministry, one of the biggest areas that they deal with in counseling and also in that sozo ministry is dealing with lies and fear. And that's where a lot of our problems come from. In fact, in sozo, there's a whole area where about fear that includes things such as rejection, worry, unbelief, anxiety, apathy, isolation, need for control, even addictions. So fear has many friends. And we all can get caught up in this area where there are lies that we believe. In counseling ministries, we are taught to identify, to recognize, to expose those lies, come out of agreement with those lies, and exchange them for the truth. And so this morning, I'm believing that that's what God is going to do here this morning. That he's going to expose some lies in all of us that we are believing. And actually, I believe he's already started. He's already started to show some of you some lies that you're believing. And I don't want to just expose lies. I want to replace them with truth, because that's what you need to do. You need to replace that lie with truth. Otherwise, you're going to keep believing and be tormented by the lie. And so we're just believing God for that. There'll be a new freedom today, which is why Jesus did come. He came to what? Set us free, and that we might experience truth. Because the Bible says the truth sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. So I'm believing for some truth encounters this morning, as we just take a few moments to expose fear and some of those lies that are associated with it. And I'm just going to kind of limit the discussion just to five truths that expose fear is a liar. First of all, in exposing fear is a liar, you need to realize you are valuable. You are valuable. That's a very important truth for us to realize. There's a lot of people in our world today, they don't think they're valued. They don't feel valuable. And yet God wants us to know the truth today that you are valuable. So that's a good thing. We see that in the passage that we began in reading here with Matthew 10, 29, 31. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. A little over a year ago, this passage became very real to me. It was actually almost right on the dot. I was looking on Facebook to realize that it was. And I was going through some things myself, and some things that were tormenting me, and I found myself coming to this place where I began to think of this song over and over and over again. It was an old song. I think, why am I remembering some old song? And it was this old song called "His Eye is on the Sparrow, and I Know that He Watches Over Me." And I could not get that out of my head. It kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And that I'd wake up in the morning. I would hear it. I'd be driving my car. I would hear it. I'd be sleeping. I would hear that. And when we had Carolyn Neri come with Daniel Baker, he's coming here at the end of the month, by the way, with his daughter. She's going to be doing some ministry as well. But when Carolyn came with him, she had a person carve a sparrow for me. And when she came to the office, she says, "I have a gift for you." And she gave me this gift, and she said, "I had this specially carved for you by an individual that I know." So she said, "Does that mean anything to you?" I said, "Yeah, it sure does." I said, "There's been this song that's been going over and over and over in my head, that his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me." See, God wanted me to know that day that he sees me, that I'm valuable to him. And friend, you need to realize that too, that God sees you and that you are valuable to him. He's watching over you. You are of value to God. The word valuable means that you have considerable worth, that you are of considerable use, considerable service, considerable importance. That's who you are. And I don't know what maybe the enemy has spoken over you, or what the enemy maybe has been tormenting you with in this area. But I know that God wants to expose that lie and replace it with the truth that you're valuable. You are of considerable worth to others and also to God. And I believe that's the truth that he wants you to know today, that you are valuable. And friends, we could probably end the message there and go home just realizing that one point. You're valuable. I don't know what the lies of the enemy have been coming against you, what you've been thinking about yourself, where your self-esteem is. God wants you to know today, you're valuable. You're valuable. And so this morning, I'm going to ask for a little bit of a participation in our message here today. And sometimes just to repeat a few things. And one of those things, there's something about saying things out loud. A lot of times you have it here in your head, but something breaks when you say it out loud with your lips, with your mouth. And so this morning, I just want you simply to repeat after me, "I am valuable." So at the count of three, one, two, three, "I am valuable." Amen. You need to know that today. You need to hear that from yourself, that you are valuable. God wants you to know that today. Secondly, in exposing fear as a liar, God wants you to know that you are powerful. You are not weak. Rather, you are strong. Powerful is defined as having or exerting great power or force. It also means having great power in the area of authority, influence, and might. In other words, you are a force to be reckoned with. The enemy of your soul recognizes that you are powerful. So he deceives you into believing a lie that you are weak, so that he can continue to harass you and bring things against you and torment you, because he wants you to stay in that area where you realize that you're not powerful, when God says, no, you are powerful. It's a lie. It's a lie. You are powerful because of Jesus Christ. God wants you to know that today. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." I like the King James Version a little bit better. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." I like that translation a little bit better, of a sound mind. Friend, that's who you are in Christ Jesus. So whatever lie that you've been believing in regard to your lack of power, you need to know today that God says you are powerful. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but rather you've been given a spirit of power. We need to receive that this morning. We really do. You are a somebody in Jesus Christ. You are a somebody that has great power. And that's what God wants you to know today. And if the devil has been scaring you or bringing things against you, he's only doing that because he doesn't want you to realize the authority that you have and the power that you have, and that you might start using it against him. So that's why he'll flood you with lies, so you think that you can do nothing when you can do everything, because you do have the power. And so as we come to this part, come to that part of participation again. That if you just repeat after me that I am powerful, out of the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I am powerful. You might think that's ridiculous. The pastor is simple today. He went away to California. That's what happens. You get some of that California stuff in you. But there's power in what you say. There's power in what you declare. Just don't think it. You got to declare it. Sometimes to defeat that enemy, you got to say it out loud. Don't just battle it in here. Battle it by declaring it. Thirdly, in exposing fear as a liar, God wants you to know today that you are loved. That you are a person of endearment to God. When God hears your name and sees you, there rises up within him a deep, profound, tender, passionate affection for you. Do you realize the Bible says that talks about God and us, that we are the apple of his eye? You are loved by God dearly, and nothing will separate you from that love. I love Romans chapter 8, and as it gets to the very end of it, it says this: "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that has been revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." You need to understand something this morning. You are loved by God. Now, maybe you've been going through some things where you've been hurt by rejection or abuse. Maybe it was from a father. Maybe it's from a mother. Maybe it's from a sibling, a friend, a trusted individual. Maybe he spoke hurtful words over you. Maybe they rejected you. Maybe they abused you. And it has caused you to believe a lie that you're unlovable. Friends, we need to realize there's a lot of people in our world today that feel that. They feel that they're unlovable, that no one could love them. God wants you to know that you are loved. God loves you. And you are loved very much. He wants you to know that today. That you're very dear to the heart of God. And he knows everything about. He even knows the hairs on our heads. That's how much he cares. He's passionately in love with you. He's crazy about you. You are his treasure and object of his affection. And when we start to understand that truth of the love of God for us, it really helps us to stamp out and smash and destroy that fear that has been tormenting us, that we are unlovable. 1 John 4:18 says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear." Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love exposes the lies and replaces them with truth. You are loved. You are loved by God. I pray that you would experience a fresh revelation of the love of God for your life today that will smash and destroy the lies of the enemy in this area. So again, if we could just say that simple little phrase, "I am loved," at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I am loved. That's the truth. God wants you to know that today. You are loved by him. Fourthly, in exposing that fear is a liar, God wants you to know that you're not helpless. The enemy of your soul wants you to believe the lie that you're too weak, that you're powerless, that you're unable to do anything to change the circumstances, that you're trapped. He wants you to believe that lie that there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. However, God wants to tell you, you're not helpless at all. For you serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. That's what God wants you to know. God is your helper. God is your helper. Our God can help us provide the assistance and the support that we need. It was interesting as I was looking this up in the dictionary of what help means. It means to provide assistance and support. But it also, there was another illustration right beside it that a locomotive is called a helper. And that locomotive is the locomotive that is in a string of trains that is attached to the string of trains and is there to assist and help the other engines to go through those times when it goes through mountains or where there's a stress and they need extra power. It's ready to act. And I kind of got thinking about that and said, well, that's what God's like. He's attached to us. He's with us. He's not leaving us. He's not forsaking us. But he's that big motor. He's that big diesel motor that's sitting behind us with all kinds of power. I was looking at how much power does a locomotive have? 4,000 to 5,000. The record book is one that has 8,600 horsepower. So when you look at yourself, well, I'm one horsepower. Hey, I can still do this because right behind me, I got a locomotive. 8,600 horsepower. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to plow through this. I'm going to get through that mountain. That mountain is not going to hold me back. You know that little story, the kid's story, the little train, I think I can. God said, you know you can. You know you can. You got the helper. Your helper's on the line with you. And he's going to pull you over that mountain. He's going to pull you through that trial and that tribulation that you're going through. Because God is bigger than our mountains, even fear and unbelief. He's bigger than any mountain we can see or cannot see. That's our God. So remember that. Just have that picture. A helper. It's actually a locomotive that is there to assist when the train needs help. And that's what God can do. That's what God, you know, sometimes we get encouraged that, yeah, I should see my angel. Angel? See my Jesus. See my Jesus. Like, hey, there's a whole heavenly host behind him. So I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you may not in the natural, maybe in the natural, you do look small. Maybe in the natural, it looks like you can't do this. But you're connected to the God of the universe. He is your helper. And he has more than enough power to get you through. And he's declaring that over you today that you can succeed and you will be successful. You are not helpless. I like Hebrews 13, 5 to 6. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? In Philippians 4, 13, we already said that I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You are not helpless. You are not helpless. You got a big locomotive behind you. That's how big Jesus is. But he's actually bigger than that because even the Bible says the universe can't even contain him. He's way bigger. But we can fathom that in our infinite minds here that, yeah, it's like a locomotive behind me. You mess with me, you're messing with this big locomotive. So again, let's say that out loud. I am not helpless. 1, 2, 3. I am not helpless. We're not helpless. The Lord is your helper. And then lastly, in exposing fear as a liar, God wants us to know today, we are not alone. See, the devil wants you to believe the lie that you're not welcome, that you're excluded from everybody else. The devil wants to isolate you. He wants to get you all by yourself to make you feel that I'm all alone. I'm not loved. Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. He wants to get you there. Those are not God's words. We need to be recognizing that. When those words start coming into our minds and our heart, God doesn't say those things. Those are none of the things he says. And yet we start to believe them. We believe those lies. We partner with those lies. And when you partner with those lies, you give those lies authority in your life. And there are people that battle with loneliness all the time. And when it gets bad, it can bring a person into depression and even tempt us with suicide. The devil wants you to feel like that. The devil wants to rob, kill, destroy. That's his purpose. And he wants you to feel that you're all alone. He wants you to feel that nobody cares. But that's a lie. It's a lie. God cares. God cares so much that he invites us to cast our cares upon him, for he is present to help us. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Not only does he care, he is with you at all times. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So often the devil makes us believe the lie that God doesn't care. Where's God? You don't see him. So he can't be there. He's not there. Like, why would this thing happen or that thing happen? God can't be there. And yet we know the truth is he's there. The Bible speaks that one of his name is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He is present with us. It's a promise even by Jesus himself, Matthew 28:20. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God promises to be with us throughout our lives and also right through to eternity. So please recognize the truth that you're not alone. Don't fail or fall to that fear. Even when those storms of life come your way, take courage in the Lord. He's with you in your storms. Just as Jesus was with his disciples in their storms. And may the words of Jesus to his disciples ring in your ears too, as Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 14:27. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's I. It's I. I can think of the time of my dad and fishing lobsters. And I remember that time I was out, and I've shared this with you before, where I went out in the evening because it was windy all day and the wind died down, and I went out. And then all of a sudden, the wind picked up again. And it got really, really bad. So bad, I thought the boat was going to be swamped. It would fill up with water as the waves were coming over. And I was quite worried. Fear was starting to come, as you could hardly see as going through that. But suddenly, I saw my father. And he was driving along the shoreline. And I knew right then that all fear left me. I said, well, if the worst scenario happens, the boat sinks, hang on to the boat. It's made of wood. I'll eventually get to shore. And my father will make sure that I'll be okay. You don't have to have fear. Your father is watching over you. He wants you to know today, don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here. I'm here. Where are you? I'm right here. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you and protect you and comfort you and encourage you. You are not alone. You don't have to fear loneliness, for the Lord desires to break that loneliness off today and bring you into a place of belonging where you feel the love of God and where God has fellowship with you. So one last statement to say, 1, 2, 3, I am not alone. 1, 2, 3, I am not alone. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. He's right here. He's right here. So in closing, I hope that the Lord has revealed and exposed some lies that you have been believing over your life. Because I really believe that God wants to break those fears and those lies off you today and impart a truth into you to set you free. I think it was important enough for him to keep putting that in my mind. And on a Wednesday night as I was trying to sleep, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Until I said, okay, that's the message, right? That I was able to sleep. It's important that he wants you to know that today. I believe that God wants to bring you to a new level of confidence that's going to help you rise above and conquer your fears and lies that the enemy is tormenting you with. Today is your day of truth. Today lies are going to be exposed. Today is your day of freedom. Today is a day where you're going to see that God is the God of the mountain. You will succeed. Success is being placed on you like a mantle. Victory is yours as truth will set you free. Now, there are two more little things I want you to say out loud with me as we conclude. And I'm going to ask our musicians that they come back to the instruments to close us. And you'll see on the conclusion there, there's two little phrases that I want you to say. Simple little prayers, but we find these prayers can be, sometimes a simple prayer is the best prayer you can pray. And just simply to ask, Jesus, is there any lie I'm believing? And then after that, say, Jesus, what's the truth you want me to know? See, there are some lies that get us all. There's lies at times that I believe too. And I have to deal with them. I have to speak truth and get rid of those lies and come out of agreement with those lies. Because the enemy, he doesn't stop. He just keeps at us all the time. And so we need to be ready for that. And just simply sometimes to ask a simple, Jesus, is there any lie I'm believing? And when you understand that there is, then you want to say, well, then Lord, what's the truth? And he can reveal that truth to you even today. And so when you say this prayer, if there is a lie that you're believing, God will bring that to you real quick. It's not something that you got to think about, and you know, man, I just waited 5 minutes, I still got nothing. If it doesn't happen within a couple seconds, don't worry about it. There's not a lie you're believing then that he's going to deal with for you today. But I can guarantee you that if there is a lie that you've been believing, he will show it to you in a matter of seconds as you pray that prayer. If you pray it sincerely, he will answer you quickly. And then if you pray that next prayer, what is the truth that you want me to know? The Lord will show you that truth. It'll come quickly again. If it seems that you're not getting anything for a while, then it's not going to happen. It'll come quickly if it's going to work that way. So I'm just going to ask you to stand with me. If you could just close your eyes, you can kind of repeat after me that way, then we might pray this prayer. So Jesus, is there a lie I am believing? Just wait a moment. If there were some lies that you were believing, you would have showed them to you real quick. Okay, then we go on to the next part. Jesus, what is the truth you want me to know? Thank you, Lord. And if there was the truth that he wanted you to know today, he would have came to your mind real quick. I trust he said something. I trust that lies were exposed this morning. Because the enemy of our soul wants to keep us in bondage. He wants to hinder. He wants to harass. And if he gets us in those areas, then he moves on to a torment. Torment is not good. Some of you already have been there where it's been a torment. Jesus wants to break the torment today. He wants to break those lies today. Just as my wife shared that some lies were hitting her. But she dealt with them. She heard the truth. Set her free. We're all the same. He can do the same things he did for her. He can do it for you. He can do it for me. Same God. Same God wants to touch us all. Same God wants to touch us in that area of lies that we're believing. And the same God wants to touch us with truth. Because he tells us in his word, the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. You might need to pray that some more. God, what's the truth? What's the truth? And just be listening to that still small voice that will speak to you. Holy Spirit, I just ask as we conclude this service that you would speak to us. That, Lord, whatever lies you've exposed that we've been believing or partnering with, that, Lord, we'll be able to say, I no longer partner with you, lie. That we would speak out about that lie, say, you're a liar. That's a lie. That's alive. I will no longer partner with you. Go in the name of Jesus. Then to say, what's the truth? Sometimes that truth's more important than just exposing the lie, because we need to hear what he has to say. And as you hear that, God has some things to say to us. I believe that we're in a season right now where God is speaking all over the world, touching people all over. He's encountering people all over the world. It's going to get stronger. We need to be hearing what he's saying. What's the truth? What's the truth? Father, I thank you that you are the God who destroys lies. You are the God that comes into our lives and you bring truth. And you bring truth that sets us free and gives us liberty and freedom and happiness and joy and peace. All those things. I pray that over this body here today, that every lie of the enemy would be exposed in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, that we would walk from this day forward, that we would be quick to recognize that when a lie comes, that we'll quickly be say, I see you lie, and I won't partner with you. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Lord, now help me to walk in the truth. Sometimes we already know the truth. Just knowing the Word of God helps us to counteract the lies of the enemy. Hold it. God's Word says this. That's what Jesus did when he was with the devil and the devil was tempting him, right? Jesus says, the Word of God says. It's powerful. It's powerful. So Lord, I just bless your people with truth today. We speak blessing over them. We speak blessing over some fellowship, Lord, that we have in our fellowship hall as well, Lord, as we just say our thank yous to Anita and Dawn, Lord, and their service over these many years. So Lord, we just pray a blessing on that time as well. Bless us through this week, because I think it's going to be a revelation week where God's going to show us lies and then speak truth. Don't forget to ask that question, what's the truth? He's going to speak something in your life that's going to encourage you and help you.